As a child coming up, I was afraid of the dark. Anybody else? Afraid of the dark. Anybody afraid of the dark now? I saw an article a couple of years ago that was talking about some of these new service stations that are popping up that have 20, 30, 40 pumps, but that the thing that really draws people in are the bright lights at night. That you feel safe pulling into that parking lot because it is so bright and so lit up. There has been, since the beginning of time, it seems, conflict between light and darkness. Good and evil, God and Satan. Our country, founded largely by Puritans, strong, committed Christians, has almost continually declined in its spiritual strength. We are beginning to see darkness almost every day erode before us. We ask the questions, why would they do that? How could somebody think that? What's going on? You know what's going on? Evil that used to hide in the darkness is becoming emboldened. Because it's found out that it's finding acceptance in the mainstream. I'll remind you, evil is against God and it's against you. To steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said. Often in the scriptures we find that ancient cultures were spiritually oppressed. Demons and demon possessions and human sacrifices. Sexual perversion abounded in them. And the seeking of pleasure almost became the only desire and pursuit. We are beginning to see it. Missionaries going to foreign fields used to talk about feeling an oppressive spirit when they entered. That something just didn't seem right because darkness was present. Here in our country, I have heard for years that many of the people visiting New Orleans said there was just a spirit there they weren't comfortable with. And we are seeing it becoming more and more pervasive in our culture. Spiritual darkness happens when the forces of evil begin to dominate the culture. We were once a strong, godly country. Now it seems we are being forced to make way for a new order, the reign of evil. I believe during this COVID-19 crisis, we've become more aware of what is going on. We are seeing the evil in men's hearts, not held back by God or godliness, and they are moving into the mainstream. Nothing seems to be holding them back. Celebrities who have way too much influence push every new idea and every new pleasure and disdain the very Christian values that we uphold and hold so tightly. Our news organizations push their agenda through twisted truth. And oftentimes, selective coverage of the news. Politicians, both sides, seek power, and they're not hiding their agendas any longer. And they seem to have no problem just outright lying to us. The entertainment industry has captured the hearts and minds of our children, our young people, and many adults. They are re-educating us through constant television shows and movies about the new agenda and the new order, especially sexual freedom. Saw on the internet the other day where Hallmark, that has always just been a staple of good family entertainment, that they are looking at now introducing and having movies that present alternative lifestyles. Abortion, between 600,000 and 800,000 every year. And we don't even blink at it anymore. And remember that law that was recently passed in New York that some argue is going to make abortion up till birth itself legal. Sexual obsession and perversion dominate the airway, the screen. Technology allows this evil into our homes and our lives. When I first started preaching, guys, 47 years ago, there was a cartoon. And the cartoon was a preacher talking about how the devil is in our homes. And he was pointing at a television. And we all laughed about it because the television shows back then were clean and wholesome. But now, how many shows can you turn on the television where the Holy Spirit's not offended by the language or the sexuality or the violence in it? And what's happening, we're just being moved into the movement. Good people, friends, family, maybe some of you. Good people are being addicted and pulled into the darkness. Saw a statistic the other day. It said there are likely 30 to 40% of men in the churches addicted to pornography. We are living in times that are dangerous. Somebody asked me a couple of days ago, Pastor, do you think this could be the last days? I have a scripture book verse here for you from the book of Genesis. Have we got this? Genesis 6:5. Now, the Lord God observed the extent of people's wickedness, and he saw that their thoughts were consistently and totally evil. And then, do you know who it talks about? Noah. Because God decided to end it. And do you remember what the Bible tells us about the second coming of Christ? As in the days of Noah. Could we be in the last days? It's hard to think of it getting a lot worse. As darkness becomes more pervasive, many people are thinking, could the coming of Christ be soon? Make no mistake, we can't set dates for the return of Christ, but we can observe what is happening. And we do know this, the one hope, my hope, my family's hope, your hope is Christ. That is our only hope. Because you see, we are being encompassed by darkness. Christ is the hope. But I want to show you a verse, and this is kind of where we're going today, and this is the memory verse for this month. Matthew 5:14-16. Listen closely, follow along. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I want to make certain that you understand something startling in here. Something that ought to cause us all to kind of set back and go, whoa. Point one, we are the light. What does Jesus say here? You are the light of the world. I looked it up at other translations. They're all the same. You and me, we are the light of the world. Pastor, are you saying that I'm the world's only hope? Christ in you is the only hope. Sometimes in scriptures, there are apparent contradictions. Did you know that? For example, in John 8 and 12, Jesus made this statement, I am the light of the world. Now he says, you are the light of the world. Is it a contradiction? No. What he is telling us, my light is vested in you. I am leaving you the mission to change the world and to save the world. You are the light of the world because Jesus is the light that lives in us. Now, it's hard to always see this in Texas, or not in Texas, here in the Metroplex. If you walk outside at night, you don't see many stars. But if you walk outside at night, you see a moon. Sometimes it's a bright moon, isn't it? And it actually illuminates the earth. And yet the moon gives off no light. The moon is a dead rock in space. But you know what the moon does? It reflects the light of the sun. We are to reflect the light and the glory of God in our lives. We are the light because we are in Christ. We are the light because we are His church. Christ's plans when He came to earth was to die on a cross as our substitute. But His plans also included establishing His church. When Peter at Caesarea Philippi said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he made that bold affirmation of faith. Jesus said, you're right. And upon this rock, upon this profession, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are the light because there is no one else. We are in a hotly contested campaign in politics right now, aren't we? It is going to be nasty. Don't know who's going to come out on top. But I tell you this, regardless of who comes out on top, the politicians are not going to change the direction we're going. Because they seek power. They have an agenda. Maybe it should be our educators, but frankly, half the problems that we've got is coming from liberal education that destroys faith, that twists science, and has an agenda. Maybe our celebrities will somehow rise up and turn and start living different kind of lives, do you think that's really going to happen? Well, then who? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Me and you. Christ in us. But the light illuminates from us. Point two, our light must be bright. Light is the opposite of darkness. But we all know that, don't we? That's common sense. When there's a full moon and it's bright, why do you think it is on the other side? Dark. If our world is leaning more toward evil, we must lean more toward God. We have more opportunities now to be that light because darkness is becoming so obvious. My wife asked me a question the other day, and it's a good question. Actually, it wasn't a question, it was a statement. She said, we need a strong Christian leader to stand up and call the church to order and pronounce what is going on. But there was an article that said we likely won't see it because pastors of the largest churches and largest Christian organizations in this country have their own support groups and financial supporters that they don't want to offend. But Jesus doesn't say anything here about the pastors or the light of the world. We, you and I, are the light of the world. We are the influencers in the world. Used to, it would talk about drug pushers. Those who would try to sell drugs and push drugs. We need to be God pushers, influencers, the light of the world. We need to be different. Peter, I think, talks about that we are a peculiar people. If you and I act like the world, dress like the world, do the same thing the world does, we are no different. We have no influence. To be different, and I want you to understand this, to be different means to be holy. By holy, I mean simply God-centered. The scriptures teach us that in the last days, men will pursue pleasure more than pursue God. Are you surprised at that? Everyone wants to just rake in all the pleasure they can get. If they can't find it on the tube or on the screen, they want to go somewhere to have fun. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. And the world's pursuing it. And the verse said, pursue pleasure rather than pursue God. We need to be pursuing God in a closer walk in God in our lives. And we need to do it in such a way that it becomes obvious. Jesus says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. A city on a hill is purposed. They put it there because they wanted to be on a hill. We are that city on a hill. We are the ones, and I am firmly convinced that God blessed our nation, Not because everybody was perfect and we all made right decisions. But the founding of it, if you go back, look at your history, the Puritans and the founding fathers who were on their knees praying, that's why they came to America, was for religious freedom. But as we begin to seek pleasure and turn away from God, I believe the blessings of God are being withheld. He says, you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel basket. You put it on a stand to give light. Oftentimes, we're afraid to let our faith shine because what would my coworkers think? What might my coworkers say? My friends at school will think I'm strange. So we hold our faith to ourselves. We make certain that if we're doing something godly, like in prayer or praying, we kind of do it where people don't watch. We pull our Bible out when there's nobody around. We've hidden our light. We've hidden His Word. And I am convinced that we've become like those that we had hoped to change. This is a good statement here. Our light is as strong as our obedience to the great commandment. Did you hear that? Our light, Christ shining through us, is as strong as our obedience to the great commandment. Love God, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. What Carrie and Kayla were talking about, loving our enemies, not easy. Here's what we prefer to do. We prefer to talk about them, criticize them, find fault with them, and judge them. It's much more fun. If we're not careful, we will always take the easy way out, which is doing what everybody else is doing, and you won't even be noticed. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to get very specific as we continue to look through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as to what He's asking us to do. I believe the Church of Christ in this country is at a turning point. I can't help but fear that this COVID crisis and so many churches not having any kind of meeting is going to be detrimental to the church. People are going to find other things to do, other places to go, other things to do on Sundays. As new avenues for entertainment and fun or pleasure arise, I'm concerned that we're going to just say, well, I can go to church then, or maybe I'll watch it online, but hey, I can go here now. There's a lot more concern on television about our sports teams not playing than there is about churches not meeting. I'll tell you that. What it's going to mean is you and I looking within ourselves and saying, God, help me. I'm not much of a light. I turned on the light in my closet has gone out. So I'm in there trying to pick through ties, and I'm looking through them, and it's dark. So I had to get me a flashlight and go in there. And my flashlight had very poor batteries. You see, sometimes what we need to do is get along with God and say, God, I need to be repowered. I need to recognize that my life needs to be different. Please be careful. Holiness is not about flaunting your goodness in front of others. Holiness is not about saying, hey, look at me, I'm doing this and you're doing that. That's not holiness. When I was working in Bahia, Texas, when I was 22 at the time. Boy, that was a long time ago. I was pastoring small church. I was bivocational, and I was working in a factory where we were upholstering furniture. And there was a young girl that worked next to me on the line. She knew I was a preacher. And I think because of that, she kind of watched her language. Well, one day something happened and she let it fly. And she looked over at me and said, I'm so sorry. And then I did something wrong. Here's what I said, or something to this effect. That's okay. God has to listen to it all day long. And I guess if he can listen to it, I can listen to it. Now you tell me, how did that witness to her but put her down? We've got to be careful. Our goal in Christ is to not to put others down, but lift him up. If you'll remember, Matthew chapter 5 starts off with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are the attitude of the godly when God blessed them. Happy, joyful, content in all of the Beatitudes. That's what we have to be. Our difference reveals itself in how we face obstacles and how we face troubles and how we face conflict. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. So we'll be getting into more next week. But Christ does not ask us to be different. He tells us to be different. Now, we have looked at verses 14 through 16. Let me go back and share one more verse, verse 13. Before Christ tells us we are the light, he gives a warning. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt, as we understand, gives flavor. But salt in those days was used as a preservative. I remember you used to get salted hams. But if that salt, which was encrusted in other minerals, if somehow the salt part of it washed out and it was no longer effective, listen to what Jesus says. You're the salt of the earth, and if you've lost your flavor, how should it ever be salted again? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Jesus here saying two things. He's saying to the nation of Israel, I established you to be the salt of the earth. You were to be my light to the nations. But you have lost it. You will be cast out and trodden down. And I don't understand the exact implication to us, but the words of Jesus are clear. When we cease to be difference makers, we are good for nothing. And I've got to assume that means that God removes his hand of protection, because we are no longer doing his will. It's become about us. And you know, as far as Christ is concerned, revival happens in persecution much better than it does in good times. Much better. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So when you go out today and you encompass people and they treat you rude, anybody ever been treated rudely? What did Kayla say? Love them. When people take advantage of you, what are you supposed to do? Love them. That is the light that people, you see, people have a choice. They're either going to choose pleasure and fun and excitement, or they're going to choose contentment in God, life in God, eternal life and purpose. And it's how we make it known. We must be different than a lost world, that they might see, as Paul said, Christ in us, the hope of glory. You are the light of the world. You are like that candlestick that God's put on a stand, and he wants you to shine bright, because everybody around you is someone he wants in his family. Amen. Today we will be, in a few minutes, observing communion. When we observe communion, I want you to stop and think and pray, God, am I being that light? Am I allowing you to shine through me? And if not, confess it and ask God to restore. Pray with me if you would. Father God, may our eyes be opened, may our hearts be understanding that you have called us to do something that is difficult. Difficult when we try to do it on our own, but we are to allow you to live through us. May we, Father, be your chosen people. May we, Father, truly be the difference makers. In Christ's name, amen.